In our gospel reading, Jesus gives us this new commandment, to love each other just as he loves us. He says, "This is how everyone will know you are my disciples, when you love each other." The command to love is at the heart of what we do as individual believers and as a community of faith. It's also at the heart of our second great end of the church. Last week, we spent time with the first end or purpose of the church, the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, and now we're on to number two, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. The church is called to be a community that cares and provides for one another, that welcomes and shows hospitality to the stranger, and that provides a safe place for all. This end has three parts to it, so I want to look at each part and what it means to us. So the first one is shelter. Church is not meant to be just another building or service organization or a location on a map. It's meant to be a place of refuge and shelter. Like a house, a church is a shelter, but it's more like a home. Church should be a place of refuge. God provides a shelter for us, a home, a place of healing, a place of belonging, a family of faith, in which we discover who we really are, a shelter that welcomes us. God gives us a community that provides shelter, which is really a place with an abiding sense of safety and security where we can grow in faith. But the reality is that there are not that many places in the world where we feel really safe and loved, secure and sheltered, the way God wants us to. And the sad reality is that not all churches really are safe for everyone. Not all families of faith really want you to discover who you really are. Much pain has been caused by churches who have invited people in and then rejected them when they live into who they know God created them and called them to be. I remember 19 years ago doing some pretty serious work about my experience in the church and my own call to ministry. And one idea that I spent a lot of time trying to flesh out is that of safety. I thought that part of my call was to create and support safe spaces. And I was pushed some on that, and I came to realize what I really meant was safe relationships. Safety is part of the idea of the church providing shelter. And when I was talking about safety, I didn't mean, nor do I understand our great end to mean shelter like a bomb shelter, where you're closed off from the world and impervious to danger. But safety and shelter in terms of places or relationships where you don't have to worry about being rejected or kicked out because you asked the wrong question or you feel the need to hide parts of yourself because you fear others won't accept you if they know who you really are. The church needs to be that kind of liberating and a life-giving environment, a safe shelter where everyone can grow and flourish. Church needs to be a place, a community where it is safe to be who you are so that you can find nurture and spiritual fellowship. What this means for us is that we need to resist the temptation to ask, "What am I getting out of church?" And instead ask, "How can I help make the church a shelter, with a place with safe relationships?" Because church isn't about a full calendar of programs and services or good causes, but being a place of shelter, love, and connection to God. So perhaps we should not be asking what kind of building or programs we need. We have built the building. But what are we building as a shelter for the community of faith? Now, the next part of the end is nurture. Nurture is about growth and nourishment. In the church, nurture is about engaging one another in conversation, sharing stories of faith, providing opportunities for spiritual growth, and praying for and with one another. That is what God wants for us. We are children of God, and as our heavenly parent, God is passionate about our growth. Like any good parent, God is hurt when our lives are stagnant, when there is no growth. And because God is passionate about the growth, God provides us a community where God's children can flourish and grow. This growth isn't just about mastering the content of faith or progressing through ever more complicated theological concepts. God wants all of who we are to grow and flourish, not just spiritually, but in every area of our lives, in our work, in our homes, in the church, in the areas of knowledge and relationships and character. God gives us the church in part to nurture God's children so that we can grow both deep and wide. We learn from Scripture how passionate God is about growth. We find that time and time again throughout the Bible, progress in lives of God's people repeatedly takes place as they face challenges and then learn from them. So you have Jacob facing disappointment year after year, working for his unscrupulous father-in-law. And through it, he grows in patience. Joseph, languishing in prison, forgotten, and through that languishing, he grows in trust. Ruth, dealing with grief, enormous loss, and through that loss, she grows in faithfulness. Moses, making a huge mistake in his life and being in the wilderness for 40 years, and through that time, he grows in his understanding of God's timing and God's call. Esther, being challenged to go into a place of danger, and through that trouble, she grows in courage. Or Paul, facing persecution again and again, and through the persecution, he grows in his understanding of God's faithfulness in all circumstances. Indeed, he writes these words about the impact of that suffering in his life in the 5th chapter of Romans. We even boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Learning and growth are a significant part of our biblical family story. Being part of a church is learning what it means to be children of God, learning that family story. In church, we're learning how to treat each other with respect and decency. We learn the language, the culture, the household rules. We learn what it means to be called children of God. Christine Chikoyan writes, "We are learning the family story, how God has many children but loves each one of us, how God keeps looking after us even when we've behaved badly, how God sets appropriate limits for us and consequences when we blow it, how God has wonderful hopes for us and desires our help in the family business, the business of the wholeness and healing of the world. We are not learning all of this on our own. Christ himself came to us to show us the way. And indeed, we've been blessed with these brothers and sisters in Christ all around us to help us, to show us the ropes, and to help us be part of the family. This is how the church nurtures us in faith." And so it's helpful for us to ask ourselves if we are being nurtured, if we are growing faith, if we are sharing the family story and our stories, if we're having conversations with one another that can push us beyond ourselves. So are you growing or are you stuck? Obviously, there are many ways this happens in a church, and two recent efforts here at St. Andrew's have been made to provide opportunities to each of us so that we can grow in faith. At Big Table, we gather in the middle of our busy or just plain ordinary lives and take time to share table fellowship, to sit and break bread with old friends and new ones, with people just like us and people we might not otherwise encounter if it were not for the church. At Big Table, relationships are formed and nurtured that cross generational boundaries. We come together on Wednesday nights to have conversations, to learn the story, and to share and learn each other's stories. And with the Closer Walk with Thee Gospel Reading Project, we have 62 people. That's about half of our usual Sunday morning worship attendance, which I think is pretty incredible. 62 people who are reading the same scripture reading each day and taking the time to let the ancient story speak to our present story still unfolding. We do these things as a way to provide for the nurture of the children of God. And then there's the third piece of the end, spiritual fellowship. We all know that the world can be a harsh and hard place, right? And if we're doing it right, sometimes proclaiming the gospel causes confrontation. Well, the church should be a place where bruised hearts can be re-energized, where we are called to demonstrate in practical ways through ministries of care that God can be trusted. The church has a call to model a new order in which ancient barriers are broken down and where diverse people can sit around table together, knowing that they and all who sit with them are welcome. That's what the church should be. But we know that's not always the case. Too many times the church has been a place where people seeking shelter and fellowship find themselves battered even more. Too often, while we proclaim that God can be trusted, we have demonstrated that the church cannot be trusted. But if we really are doing church the way God calls us to, then we should be just the place for people to find spiritual fellowship. Because the world can be so hard, we hunger for something more. Marjorie Thompson, in her lovely book, Soul Feast, writes, "There is a hunger abroad in our time, haunting lives and hearts, like an empty stomach aching beneath the sleek coat of a seemingly well-fed culture. It reveals that something is missing from the diet of our rational, secular, and affluent culture." There is a hunger because there is something missing. There is, however, no shortage of restaurants available with which to fill that hunger. Some say the church is in danger of becoming just another option in the food court of spiritual cafes. But the spiritual fellowship of the church that God calls us to be and to offer is the kind of food that does nourish those who come. God invites us to more than fast food faith. God invites us to a real relationship with God, to trust that God can and will feed our deep hunger. God invites us to come, as the prophet Isaiah writes, expecting that the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places. To come and find within these walls nothing less than the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. Seeking the spiritual fellowship of the children of God also means that we need to do the hard work of confession and reconciliation. The church should be the one place in town that is all about love and reconciliation. As our epistle reading reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ. God has trusted us with this message of reconciliation, so we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God has reconciled us through Christ and trusts us to be ambassadors of Christ, sharing the message of reconciliation and living the message of reconciliation. We live this message of reconciliation and encourage spiritual fellowship when we, knowing that God forgives us before we ever ask, confess our sin in worship from week to week. Being honest and vulnerable and seeking transformation nurtures spiritual fellowship and allows us to truly be community with one another. We also share and live the message of reconciliation by being good neighbors, by entering a covenant relationship with a congregation different from our own, but the same in our desire to follow and serve Christ as we have with our Christo brothers and sisters, and by inviting our neighbors to share our space like we are with the Tucker Farmers Market. This living transforms us and creates the opportunity for spiritual fellowship and real relationships. We know that God has called us to be the church, to be the kind of environment that is liberating and life-giving for all of God's children. We as the church are called to provide shelter and spiritual fellowship so that nurture and growth can take place. We are called to reach out our hands to offer all people in all places the embrace of Christ's love. We are called to seek to meet the spiritual hunger of our times, not with fast food, but through genuine encounter, to create an environment where all feel safe to ask questions that nurture faith and bring wholeness, to be a community of healing and forgiveness and reconciliation. We are called to love as Christ loved and as he commanded, by providing for the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. We're called to be the kind of community where all children of God know that the one who created them in God's own image redeemed them through God's only Son and sustains them through God's Holy Spirit. May it be so. Amen.